Maybe you have heard this said before. Familiarity breeds contempt. It's often used to describe relationships where over time the faults of the other become more obvious and the willingness to accept the person's shortcomings decrease. The idea is the more you know someone, you will uncover hidden things about them which erodes the fascination or infatuation you once held. In private conversations or sometimes through a social media outlet, someone will express their misgivings, their disappointments, even disdain for a person they've never met. But when it is someone they know intimately, they may defend their position by saying, "Well, if you knew him or her like I do, you'd agree. They are," and you can fill in the blank. It is my hope that as we look at one of the most well-known passages of God's Word, that our familiarity with it will have the opposite effect, that we will come away with an increased love and admiration for the Lord, that our familiarity will not lead to contempt, but to a growing faith and devotion towards God. Listen afresh to these words recorded in Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 5. "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." This is the word of the Lord. It is our tradition at IBCP to conclude our time of intercessory prayers with the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Week after week, we join in unison, each in their heart language, coming before Holy God as one. Last week, we began our series on the Lord's Prayer. Through the end of February, we will slow down and examine each stanza of this prayer, not to pick it apart, seeking to find fault, but to reveal the great depths of meaning that is contained in these few lines of prayer. Last week, we began by examining the first phrase we utter as we begin our recitation, "Our Father in heaven." Pastor Gareth gave us much to consider as he unpacked the relationship we have with God the Father and how, as believers, he brings us into his family and calls us his children. If you missed the message, I encourage you to listen to it on the IBCP website or locate the service notice on the IBCP Facebook page. Today, our attention is on the phrase, "Hallowed be your name." A few short months ago, NBC's morning show played a clip of this young girl. In the clip, her mother asked, "Sarah, what is God's name?" Those of us who have heard this before knew what was coming, but we didn't expect her to be so sweet and sincere. Her response was, "Howard." The mother said, "What did you say?" "Howard." With a giggle, her mother asked, "How do you know that?" The puzzled expression and confident response led directly to, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name." This little girl was unshakable. In her mind, she knew God's name, and there was nothing crass or vulgar in her answer. What touched me most about this little girl is that she had to have been in church or heard this prayer voiced many times for her to be so sure and poised to answer. Now she will mature, and I pray she will grow in faith and soon fully understand the meaning of hallowed. Hallowed. It isn't a word used much today. You might hear a prestigious university cited for its hallowed halls, or maybe a cemetery or church grounds referred to as hallowed. But to hallow a thing is to make it holy or to set it apart, to be exalted as being worthy of absolute devotion. To hallow the name of God is to regard Him with complete devotion and loving admiration. God's name is of the utmost importance. There is a prayer of confession recorded in chapter 9 of Nehemiah that illustrates the reverence we should hold for God's name. Remember, around 445 BC, Nehemiah was granted permission to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. This was in connection to the return of the people of Israel from the Babylon captivity. I encourage you to reread the narrative leading up to this confessional prayer. But to help you get into context, this prayer was cried with a loud voice after spending time in fasting, followed by one quarter of the day spent reading the book of the law and another quarter of the day confessing sin and worshiping God. Listen to the introduction of their prayer of confession. Stand up and praise the Lord your God, who is from everlasting to everlasting. Blessed be your glorious name, and may it be exalted above all blessing and praise. You alone are the Lord. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens, and all their starry host, the earth and all that is in it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to everything, and the multitudes of heaven worship you. Nehemiah 5b through 6. Your glorious name, may it be exalted above all. Expressions like this can be found throughout the Bible. In your daily reading, take notice of when this occurs. I encourage you to pause and echo the praise that is due. Hallow His name. Honor the Lord as holy. Since His name is to be revered, we must reserve it for a position of grave significance in our minds and our hearts. We should never take His name lightly. God spoke these words to Moses in Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses His name. Again, in Leviticus 22, 31 through 33, we read, keep my commands and follow them. I am the Lord. Do not profane my holy name, for I must be acknowledged as holy by the Israelites. I am the Lord who made you holy and who brought you out of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord. These warnings are clear, yet daily we are surrounded by people whose casual or profane use of the Lord's name is present. As a child, I have no memory of my parents uttering phrases or making claims which included the Lord's name. For example, you might hear someone say, I swear to, even without me saying the Lord's name, in your mind, you filled in the blank. As a child, if I had uttered something like this or substituted words to skirt the use of the Lord's name by saying, gosh, or oh geez, I would have quickly and maybe frighteningly been corrected, then reminded of the lessons I would have been taught at home and in Sunday school. Jesus taught his disciples in Matthew chapter 5, again you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, neither by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Brothers and sisters, let's be careful and attentive. Don't use sentence or text enhancers that are profane or abbreviated words we know when expanded or spoken are tasteless, or even worse, slandering the name of our Lord. Let us be a people who model speech that is Christ and other honoring. If we need to correct, make emphasis, exclaim, etc., leave God's name out of it. Your name. A name carries reputation, history, and associated meaning. When the person and their name are considered as one, then the character of the person or persons with the same name get tied up in the impression the name has on others. Maybe you've heard a person say, "No, that isn't a name I'd like for my child. There was a boy in school with that name and he wasn't very nice." Or you might hear your name, someone might hear your name and they ask, "Are you related to?" Some cultures have traditions where the child has the name and then their father's name is linked to them as a patronymic. For example, Ihor Borisovich, or Ihor, the son of Boris. Names can also lead to teasing. As a boy reared in Oklahoma, I was surrounded by Ford trucks and cars. I was seeing my name all the time. At the age when boys began to take interest in cars and they hear their fathers talk with other dads about which truck or car brand is best, I'd hear things like, "Your name is Ford? Like, found on the road dead? Ha ha ha." Referring to a truck that breaks down and is inferior to the one their dad drives. That is when I learned to reply, "No, my name is Ford, like first on race day." Well, then there was a U.S. president with the name Ford. That was a nice name association. I loved hearing my grandfather share about meeting President Ford. That is another story, so you'll have to ask me about it later. Names are affixed on tags, printed on cards, and are always included in legal documents. It's our identifier, our name. One of my favorite photos of Katie was snapped the morning after our wedding. It was her first day reporting for duty wearing the name Ford on her uniform. The evening before, we made vows before God, exchanged rings to symbolize our marriage, and now she had our name stitched into fabric on her uniform, displayed for all to see. For nearly 32 years, we have shared the name Ford, and together we have made a name for ourselves. I hope this proverb is true for us. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Proverbs 22:1. Names also have meaning through interpretation. You may read and pronounce the name, but it contains within it, from the original language, a deeper meaning. Here are a few examples from Old Testament names and what they mean. Eve, to breathe, to live. Abraham, father of many. Daniel, God is my judge. Nabal, fool, senseless. Sarah, lady, princess, princess of the multitude. In the same way, the names that were given to God in the Old Testament offer us a glimpse into God's character and how people saw and experienced him. This is why Jesus begins the Lord's Prayer with the words, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." To honor God's name is to esteem his character. Let's look at some of the names biblical writers used for God. You may have seen this before, YHWH. Dr. J. Vernon McGee, in his study of the Lord's Prayer, says, "The name of God was so reverent to the children of Israel that they did not even pronounce it. In their long history, they completely lost its pronunciation. Consequently, no one knows today the pronunciation of that mystical tetragrammaton, YHWH. We have it translated Jehovah, some say it is Yahweh. Who is right? No one knows. And why do we not know? Because the name of God was so holy, so sacred, and demanded such reverence that the children of Israel dared not even pronounce it. This name is used more than any other name of God. Yahweh is first used in Genesis 2:4. El Shaddai. There are a couple of different thoughts regarding the name El Shaddai. Translators of the Septuagint, that's the Greek translation of the Hebrew scriptures, understood the root of Shaddai to be Shaddad, meaning to overpower, To them, El Shaddai pointed towards God's omnipotence and might, or God Almighty. Other translators believe that the root of Shaddai was Shad, meaning breast, and Dai, meaning enough. This would imply that El Shaddai highlights God's nourishment and sufficiency. Ultimately, both are true of our Father. Genesis 17:1 says, "When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, 'I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless.'" Adonai. In the Old Testament, Adonai occurs 434 times. There are heavy uses of Adonai in Isaiah. It occurs 200 times in Ezekiel alone and appears 11 times in Daniel chapter 9. Adonai is first used in Genesis 15:2. Meaning Lord or Master, the word Adonai conveys a sense of God's rulership or dominion or sovereignty. Next, Jehovah Ra. The word Ra is derived from the Hebrew word for shepherd. Like a shepherd caring for its sheep, God leads and guides his people. It denotes the special care that God shows for his creatures. Listen to these verses. "Then he blessed Joseph and said, 'May the God before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, walked faithfully, and the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day.'" We know this from Psalm 23:1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." And then from Psalm 80, verse 1, "Hear us, shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who sit enthroned between the cherubims, shine forth." Another name found in the Bible, Jehovah Rapha. The name Jehovah Rapha literally means the God that heals. He is the great physician who holds all things together. Exodus 15:26, he said, "If you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." I have shared just five ways the God of heaven is described. The indescribable nature of God as revealed to humanity and recorded in Scripture is too much for words. Henry Blackaby, in the life-impacting study, Experiencing God, has listed in the index 1.5 pages with 2 columns of single-spaced lines listing the ways our Father is portrayed in Scripture. His being has more facets than the most brilliant diamond. His essence fills us with awe. One phrase in a prayer, the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, "Hallowed be your name," contains so much. Throughout history, God has taken the initiative to make his name known to those who belong to him. He has empowered patriarchs, prophets, priests, and at oftentimes ordinary people to make his name known among the nations. At his appointed time, he became flesh to proclaim personally his name among fallen humanity. To proclaim his name, making him known to the nations, is the commission of God's people. Sadly, we who are his children can be the greatest hindrance for people coming to him. Paul said to his people in that day, "The name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you." Romans 2:24. The following quote was introduced to me as a prelude to the DC Talk song, "What If I Stumble?" Brennan Manning says this, "The greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips and walk out the door and deny him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable." Manning's book, The Ragamuffin Gospel, urges believers to share the grace and joy one can have in Christ. So if you are, as he describes, bedraggled, beat up, and burnt out, a fellow ragamuffin, God says, come. Remember the little girl I used as an example in the beginning of the sermon? Like her, you may not fully know God yet. You may have his name distorted by our poor witness. Please, do not let us keep you from him. He says, come. I invite you to discover the hallowed one. Believer, as we pray, hallowed be your name, may we also live in a manner that reflects the holiness of God. When we testify to others about the wonders of our God while sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, may we follow the instructions Paul the Apostle gave in Colossians chapter 4. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Colossians 4, 2-6. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Next week, we will explore the kingdom. Amen.